Brennan, I hope you're doing well. Welcome into the game in T-Town.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, as we get a little bit closer, it's time for our vacation to end. It's coming to an end, my friend. I hope you're in shape and ready for fall camp starting in a couple of days.
I don't know about in shape. I am a shape of some sort, but I'm ready for a few a day. So,
I got to thinking about that. You know, us media guys, we have to hustle just like those players. I mean, we're not running 40-yard dashes, but we are chasing interviews and definitely have to work on the shape. But, Brennan, I want to look forward to 2014, but I have to go back to 2013. Let me take you back to this time last year. What were your expectations going into Auburn in 2013?
You know, at this time last year, I thought they would challenge and get into a bowl game. That was my expectation. I think fans were about the same wavelength. They thought they had enough talent on offense. They thought that quarterback Nick Marshall was going to end up winning the starting job at quarterback and give them enough of a difference there, a different dynamic at quarterback that they hadn't had in a couple of years, and they would be able to get back into a bowl game. You know, my expectation was anywhere maybe 6 to 8 wins. And then, obviously, they blew that completely out of the park when they did what they did last season.
Brennan, what can you put your finger on it? Why? What was the reason? Was it momentum that they captured early in the season and that sort of continued to roll? But what stood out to you of why they had so much success?
Well, a lot of it was, staying healthy. That was so important, especially on the offensive line. They had no major injuries up there, and neither at the skill positions, really. And when they did have injuries, it came at great times in the schedule. Nick Marshall was injured in the non-conference portion when they're playing the likes of, you know, Western Carolina and FAU. And when they did suffer that loss against LSU early in the season, they had a bye week right after it. So they were able to regroup and kind of reconfigure some things on the offense. You know, Gus Malzahn's notorious for that. It takes a few weeks for him to be able to kind of figure out the exact strengths of the team and then mold it around the team and then tinker with it a little bit more. It just worked out at a great time in their schedule. And then once they went into a big opponent, which was Texas A&M on the road, they were starting to hit their stride a little bit. They had some confidence. And then they were able to go in there, beat A&M in the final couple of minutes. And then it was kind of downhill from there. They had their confidence in them. They knew they could execute. And they kind of just got better and better as the season went along. And I guess the rest is history.
Brennan Marcello right now, AL.com is the website that he writes for, puts out a lot of information on the Auburn Tigers. That website's also available for Alabama News, and just great college football material there on the sports group that we feature some of the guys here, AL.com. Brennan, I go into 2014, and it's everybody is having a little bit of trouble picking or projecting Auburn because, let's just be honest, 2013, they had a lot of breaks that went their way. Sometimes in college football, you get breaks, and it seemed like Auburn had a lot of breaks that went their way. Is that part of the clutter when you're trying to break down this Tiger team for 2014?
Yeah, you're right. They did get some breaks. But the thing is, I think, is that they did improve throughout the season, and they were able to put themselves in position to have some of those breaks. You know, I think the Georgia play was by far the most impossible just because of the situation. It's fourth and long.
It makes you laugh when you think about that play, doesn't it? I mean, it's just how ironic that the way that it happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was fourth and long, and it was just a heave-ho to the near the end zone as far as Nick Marshall could throw it. And tip pass, catch it, and all of a sudden, Auburn's winning the game. Then they had to have a defensive stop after that. Everybody kind of forgets about that. But, you know, the Alabama game, the way that game just develops, it was back and forth. It's a heavyweight fight there in that second half. And Auburn just kept coming up with the stops near the red zone. And then, of course, Alabama missed the field goals. And then, obviously, we know about the kick six. But I think the point in that game where I kind of realized, I think that I thought Auburn was going to pull it out when either way, was when they threw that touchdown to Sammy Coates in the final minute. When they tie the game, I was just thinking, well, this thing's going to go to overtime and Auburn's going to end up winning it. They just seem to have all the motivation, all the mojo on their side at that point. And I think Alabama was going to end up losing that game either way. So really, when you look at breaks, that Georgia game is the break of all breaks. But here's the thing. Go back through history and look at these teams. In fact, I did an article on this about Tennessee, the last team to repeat as SEC champs back in 97-98. That Tennessee team had so many breaks. It was incredible. I remember watching them lose. They were losing bad to Arkansas, 21-3 at home, and then they rallied and then needed a fumble late and a touchdown drive in the final minute to win that game to stay undefeated. And, of course, they went on to win the BCS title. But all that said, you need breaks. But I think the thing to remember with Auburn this year is that they've got pretty much everybody back except for running back Trey Mason and left tackle Greg Robinson. But Gus Malzahn is very honest with what he thinks about his team. He feels really good about the team going through, and I think it's got the opportunity to be one of his best offenses he's ever had.
I look at Nick Marshall, and let me also sort of understand that you and I are taping this a day early. So this is playing. You and I had a chance to catch up yesterday, and actually this day, this interview is playing here on a Thursday. But so if anything has broken, don't blame Brandon Marcello for answering this next question. So I just want to make sure I set that disclaimer up. Brandon, what should the punishment be? Because you wrote a couple of days ago that it should come soon, if I'm not mistaken. Let's talk about Nick Marshall. What type of punishment should this young man receive?
You know, it's a great question, and there's so many variables to weigh. You know, I'm not going to share my opinion just because I'm not an opinion maker out there, but what I'll say is that there's a lot of things to get away. One of the things I haven't talked about a lot is that another player that was actually arrested, let's remember Nick Marshall was cited for marijuana possession, small amount of marijuana in Georgia. Jonathan Mincy, a cornerback, was arrested for marijuana possession in June. And so you get into a position there. Let's just throw out all the court stuff, whatever happens in court, whether it's guilty or not guilty. But just having your name in the paper and having all that happen, that's bad enough. And putting yourself in that situation. Whatever the punishment is for Nick Marshall, I would think it's going to have to be comparable to whatever happens to Jonathan Mincy. And also, I'm saying that without knowing necessarily all the variables in the background. I mean, what we do know is that this is Nick Marshall's first offense since he's been on campus at Auburn. What we don't really know is if Mincy's been in any other trouble on or off the field at Auburn before this. So that will weigh into the decision. What I do know is this. Auburn's drug policy is that if you fail a drug test or if you have some type of drug-related offense off the field, that counts as a positive drug test, so to speak, and you're not subject to missing any playing time at that point. But then if you have a second offense, you are required to sit half the season. It's quite the jump. So with that said, it's been stressed to us that this is Nick Marshall's first offense, but you have to weigh other variables. Like I said, he got in trouble in Georgia, and that's why he was booted off the team there for something off the field. It wasn't drug-related, but it was off the field there, and he was booted from that team. He's given a second chance here, and then he does that in the offseason when he's been labeled as a leader and obviously the best player on their offense. I know that Gus Malzahn is very disappointed. I'm very interested to see what he does. I think it's going to be one of those things where he either suspends him for a whole game or he doesn't suspend him at all. I don't think it'll be a multiple-game thing or even a first half or anything like that, and that's just for me talking to people. I think it'll be for a full game, or he will end up playing and starting in that opener against Arkansas.
Biggest concerns, if you're an Auburn fan and you're looking at 2014, what are the concerns around this team?
Well, you know, me, I keep mentioning it, and I keep getting flack for it. You know, running back's a concern. I would have a concern there, and not necessarily that I think they're going to be bad. I think they're going to be good there, but how quickly can they find a starter there? You know, Gus Malzahn tends to kind of slow play that a little bit. It took him into the fourth game last season to settle on Trey Mason, believe it or not, the starter. So if you are struggling in the run game a little bit and you're still rotating guys trying to find a starter, say three or four games into this schedule, you can run into trouble because by the third game of the season, you're on the road at Kansas State, much like they were on the road last season at LSU and end up losing when Trey Mason finally started to emerge. So they've got to find something out there. They've got to be consistent on the ground. They've got to be better through the passing game. But another position I'd be concerned about is just the defensive backfield, especially at corner. There's a lot of young, unproven guys back there. And depending on what happens with Jonathan Mincy, you might have to bring one of those younger guys up and count on them. I think they're going to be good on the back end, especially at safety. Those safety spots, I really like Jermaine Whitehead and Derek Moncrief, who came in the spring. They're going to be very good there. And Josh Holsey comes back from a knee injury that he suffered right before the A&M game last season. So those are two of the positions I'm really concerned about. I know a lot of fans are probably worrying about linebacker, but I tend to think they're going to be much improved at linebacker this season, and we'll see that pretty early here in the first few weeks of the season.
So do you believe we're going to see a different defensive side of the football than what the Auburn showcased last year?
I think so, and mainly just because of the linebackers. I think the linebackers will be much improved. Like I said, though, the big question, though, is their corner. I think they'll be okay. I think, of course, you got to worry about defensive end. I should have mentioned that. Carl Lawson's out for how long, we don't know, but it could be a season-ending injury. He's their best defensive lineman on the team. They're rotating guys there, but I think they got enough bodies on the defensive line that when it comes to depth and rotating guys in like they tend to do, four to five at a time even, especially in the fourth quarters, they try to wear teams down. I think they'll be fine there. But this defense, I think, will be much improved when it comes to the total yards and yards per play department. Whereas last season, they were bad at that department, but they were very good in and near the red zone. That's kind of how they stopped opponents late in the year. They kind of did a very good job of stopping opponents in these offenses when it mattered most in the fourth quarter in the red zone.
Final question, Brandon Barcelo right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. The Vegas odds makers, I don't gamble, but I love to look at the lines. I like to see exactly what the projections look like because I think they know a lot about football. They remove that bias that sometimes I get caught up in. I look at Vegas. They've got Auburn sitting at about a 9.5 win total. Brandon Barcelo, over or under in 2014?
Based off of what I've seen from this team and what they got coming back, I'll say that's, I would say over, and I think it's going to be 10 wins or more. I think that's kind of their area right now. The schedule's just so tough. We've talked about it ad nauseum. I mean, it's incredibly tough. They have to go on the road to Alabama and Georgia in the same season for the first time in school history. They have to go to Kansas State. They have to go to both Mississippi schools, which I think are going to be very, very good this season, especially Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is going to end up knocking someone off at some point this upcoming season. Tough schedule. The thing is, if this offense gets cranked up and the defense shows some improvement and they do what all Gus Malzahn teams seem to do, and that's get better as the season progresses, if you go look and compare scores in the past, like 2010, the first half time they played South Carolina, it's the SEC championship when they played Carolina again, and even last season when they're struggling against the Mississippi schools, and then they're scoring 40, 50 points a game and then you know, score 59 against Missouri in the SEC championship. If they do that this season, sky's the limit. They could knock anybody off, but do they get it going in time enough and fast enough when they have to go on the road against some of these tough teams that are going to be a little bit tougher than they were last season and out for blood for the way they lost to Auburn last year?